ODA Africans?
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, okay, just want to do some other.
Danko for kids.
Yeah.
Liberation School.
Yeah.
Teach the babies. Let's ride. Peace to the seas, the cream of the crop. I'm here to give you truth so you rise to the top. Our enemies try to fill your mind up with lies, but I'm here to protect you, make sure you survive. Open up your first eye, don't fall for the trap. Say no to drugs and be proud to be black. Black is the essence, the elders gave the lessons. You the future warriors, here to resurrect them. Here's a gift that I'm willing to share. It's quite rare and it took a little time to prepare. Every letter and every word is truly sincere. African youth, you're the best others can hardly compare. Love the melanin in your skin unconditionally. Despite the misery connected to its history, technology has our people treating it foolishly. Before slavery, our roots were surrounded by royalty. Every generation is supposed to get better than the latter, but we separated from our ancestors. Let's bridge the gap, become whole again. Live from the soul again, learn to grow again. I remember when I was younger, I sit on my daddy's shoulder wishing I was older. Now I'm a grown up, but I don't know much. It's time for Sankofa. Time for Sankofa. We build our own schools for our children's needs. The enemy's schools breeds fools and fiends. By all means, we convene to put them on the path of power and high esteem. If you don't know where you come from, why you standing where you standing, where you going, can you answer? We were masters before master. We have gathered together to get it together. From now and forever after, never sever. Our bond will never shatter ever. Boys and girls, the world is yours. You have options. See that the choice is yours. Win or lose, the elders will help you. An individual without a village is just an empty vessel. Raise the babies, frequencies, love, respect, and dignity. Decency can be cool to school the youth, equip them with the tools to live. Left foot forward, trample over evil. Know what it means to be you. By nature, you're righteous people. Don't be afraid to be you. Fear is in the mind. Reality is you are aligned with the divine. Call upon the ancestors for guidance. Applying G-O-D energy, building manifest through high science. Coming in from the cold, embracing the sun on our own. Now we know what we know. We want to go home. Let the trees grow, cause you never know. Cause you never know what fruit they may bear. What fruit they may bear. Let the seeds grow, let the trees grow. Cause you never know, cause you never know what fruit they may bear. What fruit they may bear. Let the seeds grow, let the trees grow. Cause you never know, cause you never know what fruit they may bear, what fruit they may bear, what fruit they may bear, what fruit they may bear.
Sankofa kids. Peace. I said.
Asiatico.
Peace and Liberation School. We're taking the initiative to raise the minds of our babies. Because these death camp so-called schools have been miseducating us for far too long. We got to guard truth. Maruki Baruti, silent teacher. He really teaches, by the way. I mean, as a professional. And we got the great ambassador, O. What we do, man, we live this. Word. Glorious.
Shalom, everyone. This is Grow or Die. Basically, we are gathered today to share, keep everyone encouraged. It's the beginning of the growing season. So what we're going to do is grow around, and get some information from everyone on their area, what they're starting to grow, why do you grow, what are you growing for. So I'm going to start with myself. I'm Kenaniah, Sister Kenaniah. I'm in Tennessee, located in Tennessee. And I grow because I know that it's more healthier for us. It's better for our health, our minds, bodies, spirit, souls. Help us think right, operate right, and it's the best way to grow. So right now in my area is good for cool weather crops to grow. So I have planted and started my garden. I have 5 gardens in my backyard, and I started growing lettuce, kale, Swiss chard, cabbage, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, beets, radishes, carrots, cilantro, dill, and I'm starting this all as of the middle of February, and as of yesterday, I planted some things out, and I'm excited to see, you know, what comes forth this year. So if I'm going to pass the Wingish the mic so that someone else can get it, so they can share their reasons why they grow or die.
Thank you, thank you. I'm hearing some chatter from the family on Facebook saying that they can't get in right now. Really don't know why that is. I'm gonna try to see what problem they're saying they're having, but you know, this is the what is GOD, what is grow or die campaign show here on Do the Knowledge Radio. Akintunde Atunde. I'm here with Kenania. I'm here with Brother Terrence Miller, Sister Jamila, Sister Brandy Gordon, Brother Ali Faye Harris, and you know, a couple of other organizers gonna call in a little later. We're just gonna go across and basically let everybody know what the movement is about. As an organization, as a movement, what we're trying to do as Africans, what we're trying to do in the short and long term. And what I just want to do right now is kind of give everybody an opportunity to go around like Kenia did, and just, you know, let the people know, you know, what they do, how they do it. So, Brother Terrence Miller, if you want to, you know, chime in and, you know, introduce yourself.
Yes, so my name is Terrence Miller, in Houston, Texas, by way of Chicago. And actually, I have two and a half acres that I've been attempting to secure, but fortunately, a smaller plot right around the corner from me opened up, and I will start farming on it next week. And I farm because food is the number one necessity in the world. It's a mandatory necessity. Without it, we couldn't live. But I take a different approach. I go for the purpose of us acquiring independent control, a local food economy, not just to grow for myself, but such that since the food has been tampered with considerably, and the food that was originally placed here on Earth is not the food that we eat. Everything we eat is an adulteration of what was originally here. So my purpose is to acquire as much as those original forms and to make them available to people in the form of a seed company, and then the people in my local surroundings who can acquire them for me directly. So that's pretty much what I do.
Maybe food yet. Brother Terrence?
Yes, sir.
Already. Man, I'm definitely with that. You know, as a movement, you know, food sovereignty is absolutely the, you know, it's the goal to control the food and medicine, to control the health. You know what I'm saying? Let your medicine be your food and your food be your medicine. You know, that's exactly what we're on, and using it as a economic term for Africans as a group. A lot of times when you look at distressed people or people who are, you know, at war, and you want to look at how they came from up under, you know, any type of pressure that was put on them to, you know, survive through, you know, the treachery. You look at what industry they created, you know what I'm saying, what resources they pulled together. And I think that agriculture is definitely an industry that Africans, seeing that it is African culture, can come together and take over and allow it to push us over the hill as it pertains to Abibi Fahoudie, African liberation. Right now, what I want to do is introduce Sister Jamila Horton. If you want to chime in, Goddess. Jamila? All righty then. Sister Brandy, are you with us?
Greetings.
Brandy Gordon.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sister.
All right. My name is Brandy Gordon. I am at Inner Peace Farm School. We're located in Covington, Georgia, and we're a small family organic farm. So basically, you know, my husband and I had a vision that we didn't want to put our children into the system. We didn't want to get the immunizations, and we wanted to get back to the land. So we're out here. We've got a 20-acre organic farm that we purchased from some people who had been farming organically that we were buying food from. So before we got out here, farm was already certified organic for about 12 years. And what I learned from, you know, the people that were here before us is that certified organic really doesn't mean a lot. You know, they still using herbicides and pesticides and all of these labels and all of these hoops that you have to jump through to get the certification that's run by money and all of that. So what we're doing out here is trying to go beyond organic. And our primary goal and mission is in educating the youth. So we homeschool our children, and we deal with a lot of other families in the area that also homeschool. So we get out here and let the children get their hands in the ground. So far, we've had a really mild winter, and thankfully we have been getting a little rain, so we're getting a lot of plants in the ground. We've got everything the sister mentioned, collards and kale and chard and peas and beets and carrots. So we're just out here doing our thing, trying to teach the children the value of farming. And also, I want to take the opportunity just to say to any listeners, everybody out there, that unfortunately, farming is going to become something that we're going to have to do. It's going to be like a crash course, family, because from everything that we can see, the U.S. monetary system, the world monetary system, is on the brink to collapse, you know. So the food is toxic, the food is poison, but at the same time, the economic climate in the world is changing, and if you don't know how to grow food, you may not be able to survive. You know, so it's really a dire message that we want to try to get out. So that's who we are, and that's what we represent. Grow or die, literally.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what's up, sister. I definitely appreciate you. Brother Ali, if you can come and chime in and let us know. You've been with the movement for, you know, 3 years now since we really started organizing. Why don't you share with us your experience, family?
Thank you. Peace, peace. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Phil.
All right. And I want to say peace to the family. I've been with Grow and Die for a couple of years now. I'd like to say it's a pretty interactive group. I'm proud to know all of you people. I really am. I speak about it as a group that really is takes on topic about what it's supposed to be on and reflecting a timeline and reflects the topic that everybody's on. I love how the name G-O-D, the acronym, just happens to be God. And it's really as serious as Grow or Die, like the sister was saying before. That's how I take it. You know, I train my children to live this, where the food doesn't just come magically out of thin air, for us to understand that these grocery stores may and will close at some point in time, and we won't be able to rely on them for our food. So we know how to bring food out of what appears to be black nothing, the wonderful soil, the dark matter. And what Grow or Die means to me, for Africans, is it really means the youth, because growing is seeds, you know. So it's important that we spread this knowledge and our love of growing and our interest in it to our neighbors in any exclusive way possible. You know, I don't talk about football, the people, and stuff like that. I'll mention what I'll be growing and stuff sometimes, any chance I get, and try to say, like, yo, you know, at Home Depot, it only costs this much to get started and, you know, get them really into it. And you'll be amazed by how easily some people can get bit by that bug. I've gotten more than 6 people or so in the past, at least a year, maybe a year and a little bit longer, to actually get into growing and picking, you know, fruits or herbs and stuff for themselves. And they see a future now where they don't want to live in the urban confines and might not mind getting actually out in the country and having some acreage and living that homestead type of self-sufficient lifestyle, which we all should be striving to live, preferably around each other and start colonies and stuff. But that's another conversation, another group, when we take this to the fullest level, which will go. I like the direction that the brother's taking this group. He mentioned something to me about if we make this long and strong enough, you know, it could be brought on a national level to these programs, to our schools, even the public schools that we don't own. But it would interact with getting federal grant money and stuff to actually teach our children what benefit from learning to be interested in learning how to grow and whatnot. I guess that's a good introduction to myself and how I feel about the group and what it can do for the people. Peace, justice.
But BB Fahoudier, I think it's important that that we get to know one another as Africans. You know what I'm saying? I think it's important that we get to know one another, that we build networks and we build a community, a group of families across the diaspora. You know what I'm saying? Because Grow or Die is a diasporic movement. You know, we have Africans not just in a Facebook group, but that we actually connect with across. You know what I'm saying? The diaspora is specifically a brother in Jamaica who's looking to do a lot with it, and you know he's right. We definitely want to make agriculture a huge, you know what I'm saying, part of our children's life, you know, across the globe. We want it to be something that they know is a part of their everyday thing, you know what I'm saying. At the age of 12, we can have master gardeners, you know what I'm saying, who are moving into their own levels of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics as it pertains to agriculture, you know what I'm saying? Because it's going to take so many different factions other than just growing food for us to take this where it needs to go. We definitely want to start with education. That's going to be the first phase of the Grow or Die campaign with education and, you know, kind of just move from there. Kenya. Sister?
Yes, I'm here.
What?
Can you hear me?
What kind of impact do you think we can have economically if we could come together as organizers in our own respective cities, linking up with people who are just already growing, and deciding what we're going to grow, how we're going to grow it. Because the whole thing about GOD is everybody's growing, you know, across the diaspora. We know Africans have been doing this forever, but us deciding to come together and do that together, what do you think some of the economic benefits could be?
Definitely to grow on a larger scale, to have a larger campaign of Grow and Die, to be more healthy, and really to reach out to our youth so they can know how important he is, so that they can benefit. They are our future, so we have to, you know, make sure that they know these skills that they must have. So I think it would benefit us on a tremendous level. I definitely think that we should reach out to our youth in our own areas, maybe go to group homes, maybe visit our schools, maybe visit our young troubled teenagers, and even families that's not, you know, teenagers that's not in trouble or in some kind of group home, but definitely pass the information along on the knowledge of how to grow so you won't die.
I think it's a real beautiful thing. I wanted to ask Brother Ali. I wanted to ask Ali about, you know, some of the real life that he part of the Grow or Die group.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother.
That's good. All right, peace. Justice. Yeah, one more thing I'd like to expound upon is, you know, I made some real life connections in this group, and that's where I was sort of going when I was saying how on topic the group stayed before, is that because of that, you know, it was some real networking taking place, and I've met at least 5 members of this group in my region in person and exchanged seeds and stories and knowledge and information and time and energy, you know, and build upon these bonds. And I'm still in contact with them to this day and making more every couple of months or so as people move in and out of the region. I even went to check Brother Energy Matters. I've known him for quite some time off of Facebook, but I went and checked him in Carolina off the strength more so of this group. I've known him for a while, but then after the group, you know, I went up there and checked his home set out in Smithfield, and what a lovely experience it was to see this lifestyle applied firsthand. But yeah, it's just a beautiful thing, fam. We must keep this up. We must make this way of African life the mainstay. That's it.
Sir. It's a beautiful thing. I know for sure some of the connections that I've made just being a part of this group, real life connections, you know, is even intergenerational. Sister Akai, who is a organizer down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as well as, you know, she's been growing out in Malawi in the motherland, doing some beautiful stuff with our brothers and sisters out there. You know, she taught my son how to distill essential oils from herb that she grew in the garden that she and I just think that's super ill. I think being able to, you know, Brother Love Power Majestic in Atlanta, the people who were organizing down there, himself, Jamila, they were going out and, you know, helping people build raised beds and doing all type of stuff, you know, and yeah. Like Ali, you know, was just shooting to me. Like, these are skills that our children are learning, skills that they can use to develop, you know, themselves, to develop, again, industries. Even that oil that he was distilling, you know, if that's something he really loved, it's definitely a huge market out here for, and it's a huge market out here for everything that, you know, we plan on doing. Brother Terrence.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. As far as you were speaking earlier on, like, you know, how they basically put all the trash food out here. What do you think would be the best way for us to attack, you know, saying, their market? How can we market this? How should we market this to where, you know, Africans want our food? You know what I'm saying? They want to buy it from us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, the first thing we must detach from within ourselves. And what I mean by that is, you know, that old adage where you do better when you know better. So that means that the food that we have been acclimated to grow, you know, is pretty much set in our mind. You know, and you know, when I was studying a lot of Vedanta, Eastern mysticism, yoga, early on, there was a word I always ran across that dealt with inhibitions. And inhibition is the ability to be stagnated, you know, like when something of a higher consciousness is presented to you, but you refuse to adopt it, you know. And that's, you know, I had a conversation with my son's mother, and she always felt that I was always ahead of my time because all the things that I was bringing to the table were kind of futuristic and people couldn't align to them, you know. You know, like in 94, we had, in 1994, when Whole Foods just opened up in Chicago, we had a co-op. I was the buyer. I pretty much pioneered the concept of the co-op from a buying club. And we sold everything organic. Everything. People talk about wild rice and quinoa. We were selling it way back in 1994. Now imagine, that's 23 years ago. We all had just got our farm. We was into our second year of our farm. So we had been farming 2 years. You think about people who are just now getting into farming, really. So what happened was I found myself introducing things to people they just wasn't ready to align with. And it's just like the seed. I mean, it's good that we're growing, but in essence, I've refused to grow. I had opportunity to make money, but it required me to grow the same stuff everybody else growing. And so the integrity that I had with this path, I refused it, even though it could have got me in a much more financial, better place. But it's just the integrity that, even though I was growing something, I wasn't growing something that nature created. I realized that these are the adulterations of man. These are not reflections of nature. So I didn't really feel that spiritual connection with these foods. You know, so we have to detach within ourselves and become open and accepting because, you know, like nature is always giving. We just not always accepting. And we more accepting to Western paradigms than we are the natural paradigm. And that's something within us we have to change first and foremost before we even look for other people.
So how do we help our people do that, brother?
I'm saying it starts within a group. It starts with the growers because
us as organizers, us as, you know, those of us who saying we gonna come together and you know, teach our and make sure the next generation know how to defend themselves. You're saying that we have to do this.
Right, because one thing you don't want to pass down, we don't want to pass down a flawed paradigm. And based on these varieties and these methodologies of farming, I mean, I'm not going to say I conceived it, but I drew from the ethers what I would say is the most efficient form of farming that exists. But it didn't come from me. It came through me because I look at spirit first with everything, how things are conceived in that spiritual realm long before they take material form. So I'm looking at things based on that. So I'm tapping into the mind of nature on how things unfolded just by watching her creation and understanding things from that spiritual construct. Because we have to realize that the things that we do, where did we adopt them from? If we adopt them from a Western paradigm, then right then and there, we have to know what's in our mind that is suspect. Because there's nothing that they really created that I could really say that was a benefit from top to bottom. I've always seen flaws or what they call limiting factors and inconsistencies and inefficiencies and everything they ever brought to the table, especially in farming. You know, I went to all the conferences, all the big names, all the big people out there, and when I look at each one of their farming approaches, you know, because you got organic, you have radionic farming, you have ecological agriculture, you have biological farming, you have biodynamic, you have organic, you have biointensive. Now, most people ain't ever heard of all of those. You know, I've understood them, read through them. I looked through the inconsistencies, got rid of them, took the things that were consistent and that were reflective in nature and adopted it. And from that was conceived what's called bio-organic farming. And one of the mandatory things is at least 85 to 90% of your seeds got to be wild and indigenous. Because we're talking about farming is indigenous, where the food varieties we got ain't indigenous. Most of them were created from the 1700s to the present. They're genetically inferior. That's one reason why so many people are being born with genetic-borne diseases. You know, like autism, even though some people, some children that encounter autism is from vaccinations, but like I tell people, that's not genetic-borne because you got the vaccination after you were born. I mean, coming into this world with abnormalities, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, Parkinson's, autism, juvenile diabetes, juvenile arthritis. Those is because the genetics are passed down each generation and they become more and more depleted each generation. So we got to get out of our mind, oh, no, these seeds I got, they're heirlooms. And no, they're not. An heirloom is a hybrid. So we have to really be engage ourselves in intensive education. I mean, I did most of the groundwork for this for the last 20-plus years, so it ain't like people got to start from scratch. That link I gave you for the Dropbox, it's all in there.
Hey, I know. You ain't even – and it's funny you say that I've been scouring through it, and I'm just when it comes to information, it's something that I love. But, you know, like everything else, it's all in how you apply it. It's all in how you apply it. So what I want to do right now is just in my brother, Love, Power, Majestic. And, you know, I know some things that you've been doing, you know, ever since I've known you in Georgia, getting it in, selling your planters. And that's something that you put me in, you know, start up a whole bunch of joints, you know, just get them out there, sell them for $2 and you would make your bread. And I definitely was able to, you know, bust some moves doing that last year. What's going on, Brother Majestic? All righty then. Okay. Sister Brandy Gordon, Inner Peace Farms.
Shalom. I'm sorry. I lost you for a second.
It's all good.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I just wanted to let you know I was back in because I didn't hear anything, so.
Already. Sister Brandy?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I wanted to ask you a question because I know every time I see you and your family, you got the shorties out there and you were your children. You were, you know, telling us a little bit about that earlier. What do you think they benefit from, or what are some of the benefits that they get from just being out there every day with you and learning from the perspective of homeschool, African-centered education, you know, agriculture versus, you know, anything else, or not even versus anything? What do you think the benefits of getting is?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, what I show them by way of caring for the plants and working on the farm, what I'm teaching them is survival skills, you know. And like the first sister's comments, you know, you asked about the economics. She talked about the youth, you know. This is the same thing with Brother Terrence is talking about, the youth and reevaluating what education really is, you know. So, you know, I teach my children the basics, And I always push for them to excel and exceed the expectations that's put out there academically on the system level, you know, because they have to learn how to speak that language. You know, my son, he's 13 years old, and he's about to take the SAT, you know. I've always homeschooled. I believe in it. Deal with other people that homeschool. I even say for people who can't homeschool that you can still school your children at home when you do have them, you know. So basically that's what this whole operation is about, teaching our children, not just our children, but any children that we have access to. You know, we had a Boys and Girls Clubs out here. We have church organizations come out here, let the kids get their hands in the dirt, give them just basic information about growing food. Now, what Brother Terrence is saying is so significant, and is piggyback on what I'm trying to express about this paradigm shift. So he talked about the economics. How can this farming thing benefit us economically? I don't know how it's going to benefit us with the current economic model, you know, because like Brother Terrence is saying, you know, we got to get back to the indigenous. I know he's got some, I think Brother Terrence got some seeds. I need to holler at him and get me some indigenous seeds, you know. But we got to grow what grows well in our geographical regions, and we have to teach the children this, and we got to push forward. It's all about the youth right now. The economy is over, you know. You got to realize that all over the world, countries are letting go of the U.S. dollar as their default currency. You know what I'm saying? So what people don't realize is that this has been happening for a while, and we're going to find ourselves in a position where we are literally going to have to grow or die. My son, he's going to be an expert at identifying wild plants. You know, we walk around outside, we're talking about, you know, what are we going to make a tea out of, you know. We utilizing the weeds that are on the ground because that stuff is growing for free. You don't got to work hard. You don't got to cultivate it. You know, we got a little bit of land out here. So in one of our larger growing areas, you got 150-foot rows. So you got to use a tractor, you know. And that method of farming is not sustainable, you know. I park the tractor and I say, I'm gonna work this half-acre plot right here. I'm going to focus on this, you know, because – it takes a lot of hands to get in the soil and do what it needs to do without all of these machines and whatnot, you know. So we on a whole different educational thing where we I would love to sit and have long conversations with Brother Terrence, because what he's saying is completely on point. What the sister was saying is on point. The youth. Yeah, it's the youth. We got to focus on the youth. The economy is over.
That's so. I just could kind of piggyback off that. And, Brother Terrence, if you could just show a commercial for when we can grab those indigenous seeds at.
Oh, from my website, www.indigenousseedinitiative.com, .org. That's indigenous. Seedinitiative.org. And
all right, everybody, www.indigenousseedinitiative.org. It's seed, not seeds. It's seed. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say that we're going to add another additional 35 more listings. And I was going to mention to Brandy, you know, I started off when I heard Dr. Febby back in 1990, wildcraft and herbs. And in that area, while wildcrafted, you know, the Midwest has by far more wild-growing herbs than any other place in this country. And I mean Midwest, Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Indiana, Ohio, and the southern part of Wisconsin. The most diverse herbs.
Yeah,
you know, I was able to identify probably about 85 to 90 herbs before I moved away. And my friend, me and him started together. He told me he's almost at 200.
Hey, you ain't lying. One thing I know for sure, since I started to read the natural or the wild urban and plant directory that they have here in Wisconsin, I've been seeing species everywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's a decent forest up here. Got stuff on everywhere. And then down by the lake. But to her point, I'm going to be honest, our children, you know, we got to get it for them. That's why education is really the foremost function of GORDI as it is created currently. Definitely want to get to the point where, you know, and when we say economics, we understand that the economies are being all over the world, but skills and resources are what we need and what we have to be able to transfer on to others. The skills and resources. We used to use seashells. It was always something, you know, communalism or socialism or whatever you believe in. You know what I'm saying? You got to eat, and that's real. You got to eat. So the education is very important, and that's why I asked the question about you know, the children and, you know, how they're soaking it up. Because when I do workshops, you know, we do workshops where we talk about how to do transplants, but we spoke to them about the soil and about the, and we all started some seeds. We started like 600 seeds in the community centers. And, you know, to be able to teach children math and science and all of these different things through agriculture is so very, very important. And I know some of the things that I've often, you know, organized is about, it's also very important when we incorporate African culture into that, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to take out a moment to introduce my brother from Jersey. You know, he holds it down, you know, for the East Coast, Grow or Die. You here, brother?
Yeah, peace, brother. I'm here.
BB Foodie, man, you know, let the people know, you know what I'm saying, what it is. Brandy, Kenya, Terrence, y'all still on? Ali, you still on?
Mm-hmm. I'm still on.
Well, yeah, indeed. Peace, family. New job for here from Jersey, grown out of Jersey, North New Jersey to be exact, be more specific, North New Jersey. Grown out of city lot, adopted, they had a little program going on out here in the city of Newark where they leasing lots out here for $1. And they also had a real estate program where they was giving away houses instead of property for very cheap, but a lot of people just wasn't on it. I'm one of the fortunate ones to know about it, and I'm spreading the word, you know what I'm saying, to our folks. But make a long story short, yeah, I got a city lot, you know what I'm saying, grow or die. I'm just getting into the beginning stages of things, starting to seedling some doors, cleaning up the lot, getting my people. I got a small team out here, too, helping me out. So that's a good thing. I don't need a lot of people. So we out here, the pictures and the videos and everything is definitely going to be coming up. It's just that so much going on that it's just the technology and the social media and everything is there's a lot to handle when you're just doing a lot of this work. But definitely, though, I'm going to keep y'all up to board and let y'all know what's going on. Yeah, I want to say this too. You know, at certain farms, they produce certain things. So you got like dairy farms, and you got certain farms that just produce vegetables, certain farms that just produce herbs. We plan on manufacturing something too. I don't exactly know what it is yet, but we're going to do something though. It ain't going to just be a regular, you know what I'm saying, traditional farm style like how they did it back in the days. We want to upgrade and keep it creative. And keep it creative. So that's one of the things we plan on doing too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's so much diversification. Matter of fact, I'm going to be sending you that book soon, brother. And that book, it's a different book in botany that you normally would see, because it talks about how plants were used by indigenous species to make clothes, to make dyes. You know, you have rattan and sugarcane where you can make furniture. You can make desk tables, bookshelves. You know, even culinary herbs. What person that prepares food don't use culinary herbs? And black people, we don't even produce culinary herbs. So that's a whole other market. So there's so many things that we could do to sustain ourselves that's readily available and is very feasible for us to do, because all it takes is land.
That's right. All it takes is the land, you know what I'm saying? And I just got it, so I'm just trying to acquire. And it's so many, like you said, it's so many concepts. Like, I don't know exactly where I'm going to fall in, what I'm going to be doing yet, but I guarantee y'all, family, that we're going to be having something very productive coming from this. And also, too, like how you mentioned all the different other ideas and options, I was just looking on a video last night talking about plant dyes, how you can dye so many different types of plants and fruits and make dyes and colorings, and we could make our own clothes. You know, I got my own business, my own brand on the side. It's Higher Heights. And what it represents is elevation, you know, education, agriculture, and economics. That's the main focus. And the reason why education, economics, and agriculture is the main focus is because it supports the three basic essential needs for humans, which is food, clothing, and shelter. So like the sister said earlier, who had on earlier, she mentioned survival. So in essence, that's what it's all about, you know, survival, to sum it up in one word, and just going to do different positive avenues through farming.
Yes, that's grow or die. That's exactly what it is. And I often, you know, like I was saying, link freaking civilization to and with agriculture. The oldest, somebody definitely you know, but the oldest African civilization used agriculture as a way to civilize, as a way to move forward, as a way to not just cultivate the earth, but to work with nature. You know what I'm saying? It was based on our observations of nature, our connections to nature, and our understanding of it, that we planted based on moon cycle and the African woman, everything. If you look at some of our greatest nations, from Kemet to Ethiopia to Mali, you know what I'm saying, across different time periods, before, for my eyes, you look at the different crops that they use to just feed themselves, but, you know, to make an impact on the world, you know, and that includes, like, you know, the Batwa, which are some of the old known, you know, Africans who come from the mountains, come from, you know, modern-day Zaire and Uganda and Rwanda, that area, you know, who started to cultivate, or again, more than cultivate the land, and, you know, begin, or even, you know, we don't really know how long we've been growing from earth. We don't know how long, but I know the whole time the earth's been here, we've been growing food on it. You dig? So I think that's just a super important part. African culture, agriculture, go hand in hand. They're not separate. You know what I'm saying? It's not two separate things. I know, you know, out there, one of the things across the world, you know what I'm saying, it's necessary to do is to decide, you know, and how to deal with this crisis, you know, and agriculture is the answer for that. So, what type of workshops do around time? Are you just around time this year? What kind of work will we be doing and providing Anybody? Yes, sir.
You said what
that
workshops?
Again,
yeah. Like what type of instruction? You know, education. This is what we do. I know. Per our YouTube page, you know, we're gonna be having, you know, what I'm saying, a lot of instructional videos. But I was asking if anyone has any workshops coming up the year that you can.
Yeah, I'm gonna have one on C.
I hear the last thing. You said if you have any workshops coming up?
Hello.
If you had any workshops coming up.
Whoa. Okay, I'm speaking right now.
Okay, I think his line is really messing up. I'm not for sure.
Yeah.
Why he has a real bad echo.
Who
sound.
Is that, Shuja?
Excuse me?
Yeah, that was
Excuse
me.
Me.
That was me, brother. That was me.
Okay.
We having bad reverb on the line, so somebody
okay.
needs
I can handle
mute their line. Say that one more time.
No, I said I can handle that. It's a little better now. I wanted to introduce the sister, Akai Asase, from Grow or Die, DFW area. How you doing, Queen?
Peace and greetings, Hotep family, Abibi Fahoudie. Can you guys hear me?
Abibi Fahoudie. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we can
yes.
hear you well.
Bless. It's my apologies, just tuning in. I know there's been a lot of great things said. The last thing, I'm just going to try to pick up and vibe with you guys where you are. The last thing that I heard was workshops going on. If I may speak of that very briefly, unless you guys want me to jump in on some other topic. We have a community garden in Oak Cliff. It's in the Dallas area, and we've been going on strong for about 3 years now, a little bit over 3 years. And we've been a part of the Grow or Die campaign for about 3 years as well. We appreciate all the work that are happening across this nation and now internationally speaking. March in Dallas, in Oak Cliff, March 11th, noon to 2, we have a workshop. It's a DIY, do-it-yourself, rain barrel workshop. And in this workshop, you're going to learn a little bit about harvesting your own water and how to set up your own rain barrel system. And we're super excited about this this movement across the nation. It's all about being more in control of the resources that feed our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, our people, our earth. So that's one of the things that we're going to be working on as well. But yes, I just wanted to speak on that. If there's anything that I can share, please let me know.
Can you please speak more about this? About saving water and the topic that you're, what day, how can someone join in on these days?
Absolutely. If you are not in the DFW area, this needs, because we are part of Grow or Die campaign, we work in solidarity collectively, nationally and internationally. So we would love for people to join us in the effort. You know, get a couple of people together. You know, call it where two or three are gathered. There it is, a workshop. That's me biblically speaking. We're Grow or Die. We get together and we do the work. Get a 5-gallon bucket, as simple as a 5-gallon bucket or a trash bin, one of those plastic bins, the heavy duty ones, or an actual, if you can get your hands on an actual 55-gallon barrel, you can, I will put in our, what do you call it, in our group, a link. There's many links on how to set up a rain barrel system. But I encourage everybody, show solidarity with Grow or Die campaign and with the McCarty Mathai Community Garden with our rain barrel workshop. Google or check out the link that I'll be sending so that you can join our international efforts to help capture this water, you know, that we, that is a, you know, it's not so much a commodity anymore. It's becoming privatized, and many of our brothers and sisters in our in the motherland are without the basic necessities. Every living thing needs water. And about a month ago, I got back from a trip in to Malawi, my first time in Africa, and I am forever changed. And this workshop is kind of like the brainchild from my experience. There in Malawi, we had to pump our water there. Most of the people, unless you're in the city, are having to pump the water because we're severely, there in Malawi and many countries in Africa, are severely underdeveloped, especially the more rural you live. The village life is definitely what we call in this Western world permaculture, but I refuse to use that word. It is lifestyle for us, and I just wanted to share a little bit about the reason why we at the McCarty Mathai Community Garden wanted to have this type of workshop. It is super easy. We have an advantage because we have access to everything we need. Access to everything. There are no excuses, no slowing down, no reasons why we should not be doing the work, and more of the people should not be doing the work that you are doing, that I am doing, that we are doing. So I just wanted to speak a little bit briefly on the reasons why we're doing this rainwater collection system workshop and how and why we must all join in solidarity on this for our brothers and sisters in Africa across the diaspora. Most death. And if there is an opportunity, I would like to share a little bit about my experience growing in Malawi. We got a chance to actually do the work, start growing in growing food in Malawi. So I'm not sure if this is the time for it, but if I have the floor, Brother Akintunde, please let me know. Peace, family. Hello. Yes. Can
I hear you
there?
I'm here.
Bless.
Yeah,
I just wanted to get a little bit of
difficulties, so
okay.
I do apologize for that. We hear echo from him in the back, and earlier I was kind of blanked out for a while. I'm not for sure if it got something to do with how we're communicating, on what line we're communicating on. But we do apologize for the inconvenience. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we definitely will be looking forward to that link up on Grow or Die to be able to chime in just to see what's going on with the workshop.
Absolutely.
And maybe stay encouraged, you know, even in our own areas by using some of the same methods, you know, so that we can grow in our own communities and areas.
Absolutely, sister. Please tell me your name. I am a latecomer. What's your name, sister?
My name is Kenaniah.
Kenaniah, blessings, sister.
Yes.
Where do you live?
And I am in Tennessee, Knoxville. So I'm growing here, and I've been with Grow or Die for 3 years now, and I've been growing for around about 6 years now, so about 5 years now. So
blessing. Oh man, I was briefly speaking about my trip to Malawi and how that changed my perspective about how we grow here, what we do, and the lack. I know the movement is growing, and I feel it mm-hmm. every day. But I realized, me personally speaking, that we are still sitting on a gold mine here, and that we have access to everything that we need to do what we need to do to
mm-hmm.
Have a bigger impact, you know, to create an actual food system for ourselves, for our community, for the people that we link up with. And the strongest people on this earth is the African women. And it helped encourage me to do more here when I came back here to Dallas, Texas. So most of we give thanks for everybody that is growing and liberating our people, especially from the systems that really oppress us. That's the deal.
Yes, it is. Do any of the brothers have anything to say? Brother Terrence, I know you have a lot of information that you can kindly so share with us if
yes.
you're still on the line.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Blessings,
yeah.
Brother
Terrence
Miller.
Yeah, it is a deja vu. The sister talk about Malawi, and a friend of mine, he spent the whole year in Malawi.
Wow. Amazing, amazing. What type of work was he doing there, Brother Terrence?
He was just trying to fill out the needs of the country, because he's a very fortunate guy. Ever since I met him in 91, he's been making a six-figure family. So I told him that since Malawi was like he said it was, that I would go back over there with him if he would agree to buy some solar panels and bore some wells, you know, so they could have some solar panels to power well water, so they wouldn't have to go through that rigorous work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's similar to what Geronimo Pratt did in Tanzania, where they had to walk miles for water. And he put $10,000 on the table, and they were able to bore or dig a pretty good well, and they didn't have to walk for water no more.
Bless, yes. There were some NGOs or some organizations that actually started, that funded the digging of the wells there in Malawi, but there was at least two that I saw that were not maintained, that were non-functioning. So, I mean, the need, there is a definite need for us to start sending back to whatever country you can, start linking up, because one of the most valuable things I learned was the U.S. dollar stretches so far in our motherland, and we can do so much. I thought that I was going to just be in the research phase of growing there. But through my dear sister, Agnes Nkata, who is a DJ, a philanthropist, an ambassador of MITO, which is, she's actually the president and chairwoman of Malawians in Texas organization. And she is from Malawi. So I linked up with her, and that's how I got to Malawi. And she has a school there. Her grandfather has a nursery school there. And we have to start linking up with our people in a grassroots effort to begin to build up and build the infrastructure there. Because I notice here we're waiting on an answer sometimes. Some of us are. And there, they can't wait on the government. And I saw it. I saw that the government, especially when it's under, corrupt rule, is not going to be for the people and the empowerment and betterment of the people there. So we definitely are needed to link up. Less than 10% of the people are connected to the electricity grid in Malawi. So you guys, I encourage us to grow, think. You know, that there's a saying that says, think globally and act locally, but we also need to begin to link back up. One of my uncles in Malawi said, you need Africa just like Africa needs you. So that is sticking with me no matter what, and I gotta. We all have to stay focused up the, and link up. Link up.
Somebody got some feedback on it. Somebody got some feedback on it. That issue is depressing.
I know one issue, like Uganda, there's an orphanage in Uganda called Children of God. And what the people didn't know was their Department of Agriculture was getting them GMO seeds from the USDA. So when the farmers tried to plant their stuff, they kept getting bug infestation. So they got in link with them. I provided them some organic corn, some corn seeds, Aztec corn. And they grew it, and some snap beans, and everything came out well. And I strongly urged them to save the seed. They did not save the seed. And the year after that, they got the seed back from the same source, and they went back to the same infestation.
Wow.
Because, you know, like you said, like the sister was saying, how organic, they use pesticides. You know why they use pesticides? Because plants emit an electromagnetic frequency. And that frequency either is going to resonate in the spectrum of pathogens or beneficial insects. And unfortunately, since the seeds are mutated, it's always going to resonate in the spectrum of pathogens. It's nature saying, this food is not viable for my ecology, so get rid of it. So when people say, well, I had this infested, I've never had infestation all the years I farmed. One time, when a guy bought some sweet potato slips that was highly genetic altered, and he planted them, and they were the source of the infestation. So rather than trying to deal with raising the vibration of the other plants up more, I just piled up the sweet potatoes, and within hours, all the insects went away. He's like, what my sweet potatoes at? I'm like, I had to get rid of them. They were causing problems for us.
Okay, can y'all mute who ain't talking so we can get rid of that sound? And greetings and great evening to everyone.
What's happening, brothers and Jeffy?
What's going on, loved one? All is well, all is well. I had a couple of questions I would like to ask the sister that just got back from Maui. When y'all do the rain barrel thing, can y'all podcast it? Or Facebook live it or something like that in the door forward group.
I'm so sorry, brother. What's your name? And then I could not hear your question.
Majestic is my name, and greetings to you.
Yes, brother. Great.
I'm glad you had a very wonderful trip. I was excited that you were there for your first time. I enjoyed the images that you showed so much.
Bless.
Greetings to everyone else. Sister Brandy, I love what you're doing. Keep doing your thing, Brother Terrence. Always been excited about the seeds that you have and your mission. And one of the questions, I got a few questions. I'm going to start with my sister first. Is there any way you can podcast your workshop or live stream it in the Grow or Die group?
That's a great question. I know the least that we can do is go live or record, you know, on a cell phone and then upload it on Facebook or YouTube of some sort. We at this time, because it's a late date, we don't have the opportunity to live stream unless someone can bless us with that opportunity.
Okay.
I definitely reach out to all my family in the D. I know plenty of people in the D. I'm reaching out to my family to see if we can get that live stream, AI. And another thing, Knowledge Born wanted me to tell you that he got an event going on Friday and Saturday, and you can come and, tell everybody about what you're doing down at the garden, and, you know what I'm saying, anything else you want to speak about. Okay, if everybody could mute real quick, except for Atai and Majestic, that'll help.
Okay,
I did it.
Beautiful. Yeah. And Brother Terrence, are your seeds ready to hit the market now?
Yeah, I stay stocked all the time because, you know, I'm from the plant now, and as I eat stuff and sell it, I always save a lot of seeds, and at the same time.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, great. Well, I think everybody should definitely acquire seeds. That is a must that we lean more towards indigenous seeds and harvest the seeds from what we grow, what we purchase from. One of the things that I've done and was very successful with is growing and selling. And even though the economic times are like they are and predicted to be very gloomy in the sense that it stands right now, I still find that the greenbacks that I'm able to receive are very useful right now. And I'm saying that to say that when my son left the college last July, out of the $45,000 that was spent, $12,000 of that came from him actually selling the small plant that he grew in the garden, to the point I see clearly how the big box stores can put a dent in with natural grown vegetables. Now, being here in Georgia, I was able to do some avocado trees, some mango trees. And I would sell them for $20. I was able to come up with 45 avocado trees and 60 mango trees. Now, a lot of our people didn't buy them. However, I have not been afraid to tap into that white market and receive their money. It went well. Talk about economics. That's just one little thing that has benefited me that I wanted to share. Really don't have a lot to say. I think all of y'all are doing great things. And I look forward to seeing y'all do more. It is about survival. One of the great tools to get our people to grow is showing them the damage as a result of what they do eat. And the other benefit is everything that comes with actually putting your hands in the soil, becoming more in tune with how nature works and how it will replenish itself and how each part of it is very significant to its success. And that's pretty much all I wanted to share. Thank you all for tuning in.
Okay. Question for you, Majestic.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Those mango trees, are you growing those in Georgia or Florida?
I'm growing them in Georgia. I ship them out when they're about 2 feet tall.
Okay.
2 or 3 feet tall.
Okay. Perfect.
Now, I currently have the banana tree, the avocado tree, the mango tree. I currently have them all in the yard, planted in the ground, just to see what happens. Don't know if they'll produce yet. Don't know if they'll produce at all. But one thing I do know, I will give them the opportunity to grow, to see what happens. I will not underestimate the ability of nature to produce in this climate. I visit with the brother down in South Georgia that worked for, he actually does agriculture for the University of Georgia. And he has non-chemically been successful with growing bananas in South Georgia and getting them used to the climate, even though it's a little warmer there. Still yet, it receives the coolness that I get in my region of Georgia.
Okay. Good.
So I have nothing, you know, bottom line is have nothing to lose. You know what I mean?
Yep. Everything to gain, nothing to lose, right?
That's right. You know, and I believe it's going to work out, you know.
All righty, family. Well, we're nearing close towards the end. I want to give everybody an opportunity to just go around the board. And if it was one thing, you know, you could say to an African who doesn't know how to grow their own food, what would it be? Anybody could jump in, you dig? Oh, I just happen to have all the ones muted. Let me unmute the mic, please. All the listeners would have just been talking. All right, family. Anybody, Brother Terrence, Brandy, Kenya.
Yo, what are you saying, brother? Brother Shuja, what did you say?
Sister Aka.
Yes.
If there was one thing you would tell an African who didn't know how to grow their own food, what would it be?
I didn't hear the beginning of the question. If there was one thing
you could tell an African who didn't know how to grow their own food, who was looking to grow their own food, what would that be?
To do it. Put the seeds in the ground and let nature do what it do. Link up with others.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Brother Terrence. Okay, that's my man.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. This brother Terrence. Jeff.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. What was that question?
One thing you can tell Africans who are you know, don't know how to grow their own food, who's trying to learn, what would that be?
Think about the consequences if they don't.
I say to that. I appreciate you, brother. Brother Majestic?
I would tell them. And everything that we say needs to be written down, because that needs to be something passed around. But I would tell them, you will benefit mentally, physically, spiritually by growing your own.
BB Foodie, we appreciate you, man. Brother Ali.
Peace, brother, peace.
I ask you the same.
I would tell them, grow or die, grow or die.
Already a BB 48.
Yeah.
Okay. Shuja.
Yeah, I will tell them that acquiring resources is easier than they think, and everything don't cost money. Get back to the earth.
It's all about skills and resources, skills and resources. Definitely can agree with that. Definitely can agree with that, family. You know, that's all we got for tonight, you know. Definitely appreciate all your family for coming out, you know what I'm saying,
you know what I'm saying,
and, you know, putting it on for the people. We're going to keep it moving. You know, might do this again sometime. Be looking forward to, you know, the YouTube page and the different things that we got going on in the group and then in our own respective cities. You know, it's grow or die, man. It's all about African liberation. You know, I'm going to play a little African liberation music, family. Peace and love.
Minister of Agriculture. Universal. We got to know, can't stand to believe. We got to grow, so I'm planting my seed. When you're deeply rooted, you can handle the weeds. Reaching towards the sun more than daring to dream. But you can't just bury your seeds, you gotta water it. Give mad love and nutrients to father it. It take more patience to grow than to harvest it. Catch me in all white, like a star with it. Gardening, a guard with it, fertile land is what started it. You know the culture's ancient, calculated cultivation. It's a difference in saying no to nature and knowing nature, the nomenclature. Bring what I sow for favor. Of course, the influence from the solar major. You could take a photo of the synthesis and still can't compare the omnipotence, the magnificence of melanin, the beginning of everything. Free the land. We used to really dig it, talk about the green. We used to really get it. Food for thought. I'm here to feed the village. Prepare to feast for winning. Take the W from will and what's left is ill. The past and the former. Some of us never left the field. Prayers to the ancestors. I keep my weapons still. It's universal. United Front. Shout out Dino Graham. UFG. Oh, Shea Black. Ben African L. Ciguano. A BB. A Hootie 8.